In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you hold together all things in heaven and on earth. In your great mercy, receive the prayers of all your children. Give to all the world the spirit of your truth and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Oh, A reading from Acts. Paul stood in front of Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and in all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move, and we have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising from the dead." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Congregation, please read the bold print. "Bless our God, you peoples. Let the sound of praise be heard.
Our God has kept us among the living and has not allowed our feet to slip.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us just as silver is tried.
You brought us
You let people ride over our heads when we went through the fire and water, but you brought us out into a place of refreshment.
I will enter your house with burnt offerings and will pay you my vows.
Those that I promised with my lips and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble. Come and listen, all you who believe, and I will tell you what God has done for me.
I called out to God with my mouth and praised the Lord with my tongue.
If I have cherished evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me.
And in truth, God has heard me and has attended to the sound of my prayer.
Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld unfailing love from me." A reading from 1 Peter. "Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer from doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you and accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for our sins for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He has put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God awaited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which is prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson today, the disciples are worried Jesus won't be with them in time. Feels like a child worried about their parents leaving home, not feeling safe and secure. Now, it's important to note here that last week's gospel message, this is a continuation of last week's gospel message. Jesus is still speaking. So if you were here last week or you caught the sermon last week, we were at John chapter 14, 1 to 14, and this week it's John chapter 14, 15 to 21. So Jesus is still speaking. Many of us don't have to remember just what it was like to be a child and having your parents leave you with a sitter. Or even you having to leave your own children with a sitter. Many of us have a hard time wondering what life would be like, what the world would be like when someone we love is no longer with us. Many of us have had to endure and continue to endure that reality, someone that we love no longer being with us. But Jesus provides us this assurance that the disciples, you and me, will not be orphaned. Now, when we go back to John chapter 13, Simon Peter wants to know where Jesus is going. And Jesus says, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me. You can't follow me now, but you will follow afterward." And in John chapter 14, verse 5, last week we heard Thomas say, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" The disciples are impatient. They want to know. They want to see. They want Jesus to give them a clear path. They want to just spell it out for us, Lord, so we can understand. How many of us want that from God, right? Just spell it out for me. Just show me what this is all about, and I can go in that direction. And I don't mean this in the way that some Christians do this. There's a toxic rhetoric around the quote-unquote plan. But when we cannot legitimately understand or see, there's an understandable tendency in us to feel orphaned, to feel abandoned. And when we feel orphaned or abandoned, there is a sense of hopelessness that we are filled with. And Jesus is not giving the disciples a plan. What does he give them? He gives them a promise. And he does show them the way. Jesus uses love verbs a lot. And in our gospel lesson today, it begins and ends with love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, what are Jesus' commandments? Now, if we just focus on what Jesus says in John's gospel, don't come at me and be like, "Well, he says this in Matthew," right? I'm just focusing on John's gospel. Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's John chapter 13. "Just as I have loved you." Now here's what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." Wow, "just as I have loved you." Sacrificial love for others. And this might be the simplicity of our judgment when all is said and done. The question asked to each and every one of us: where did you not love in your life? Where did you not love in the world? And then to be confronted by the cross. To be confronted with Christ on the cross. To be confronted with the crucified and risen Christ that extends grace, mercy, and forgiveness to you. Because the love that we receive from God in Jesus Christ is unconditional. It knows no limitations. We know in our broken selves that our love can be limited. We know in our broken selves that our love can be conditional. We know the reality of hurt and pain in our lives. How many of us have been, or maybe continue to be, hesitant to open ourselves up to love and to being loved at the risk that we may be hurt. Jesus knows that pain. Jesus knows that reality and our limitations. And he shows us a new way. A new way to live in this world, to embrace the promise that he has for us, with the reminder that through it all, we will not be orphaned. The advocate, the Spirit of truth, abides with us, not just to fill us with information about Jesus, but the ability to trust Jesus, to trust in the promises of Jesus, and then the ability to love like Jesus. We are not orphaned, and our ability to do these things are not possible apart from God's abiding presence in our lives and in the world. In John 14, 19, Jesus says, "In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live." Once again, we see how we are joined to the resurrected Jesus now, how that means something now. It's not a destination into the future. It's a reality now. The way of Jesus, the path that Jesus shows us, it's a journey to the various parts in your life, in your pilgrimage here on earth, where God calls you to be, to keep his commandments, to love one another, to love the world as he loves the world. And we're invited into the love of God, which for us is the Holy Trinity. We're invited into God's economy of love, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is in this economy of God's divine love that we share this love not with just in the church family, but within the community, out in the whole world. And I love to emphasize Luther's explanation of the third article of the Creed in the Small Catechism, because it is the Holy Spirit that gives us this ability to know and to trust Jesus. And it is Jesus who shows us the Father. It's through this revelation that the one God in three persons, as we Christians articulate, is the God who is love. That we can confidently say as Christians that God is love. God is love, and this love abides in us and with us. God is love, and this loving presence that Jesus promises will never leave us. It will not leave us in times of joy or sorrow, when we celebrate life, when we grieve loss. In life and death, this love is always with us, which is a promise that love and life will always endure. This is the good news of the love that we share when we keep the commandments of Jesus, to love as Jesus has loved us. This is one of the gifts that our worship particularly offers us as a reminder of all this. In holy baptism, we are washed anew and brought into God's family with the promise that God is always present and will never let you go. And during the Easter season, I get to remind you of that promise, right? If you get hit with some water, right? When we know that we've fallen short in our inability to keep the commandments of Jesus, not fully loving others and the world as Jesus loves, the presence of God who is with us says to us at confession and forgiveness, "I love you and I forgive you." When we hear the word and the proclamation of the gospel, the Spirit enables our hearts and minds to hear God's enduring love and promise in the past, present, and future. And when we receive the holy meal, we cling to the promise of the real presence of Christ in that meal, in the bread and wine. We hear those words given for you and shed for you that points us to the love of Christ and the life that he laid down for the world. In this meal, a loving God who continues to feed us with God's self gives us comfort and assurance that God is present with us and abides with us and gives us the very food that will sustain us in the world to follow the way of Jesus, and to embody Jesus' commandment of love. We go out into the world imitating the way of Jesus. But Jesus even invites us to do more than imitate, to participate in the divine love that we experience by sharing it and embodying it. If you read further in John 14, verse 23, Jesus says, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Now, last week we heard Jesus talking about, "I'm going to go and make rooms, make many dwelling places," right? This is a reminder that our home with God is now. Our home with God is now. Provides comfort to the grieving. Should also give hope for the hopeless and alleviate the pain and burden of those suffering today. Because the goal of the Christian life is not to escape this world, but to embrace God's love for this world now. To love the world that God loves. To dwell with God, the God who is love, who has welcomed us into God's divine home now. Beloved children of God, may we trust in the promise of God's abiding presence that is with us now. May God give us the ability to love as Christ loves us. And may we always cling to the hope that this promise and love endures forever, in joy and in sorrow. Because we are always at home with our God who is love forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in the course of the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, of the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. United in hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God, our faithful companion, you promised to never leave us and to send your Spirit to guide us in wisdom and truth. Send your people into the world to serve as mirrors that reflect and magnify your love. Hear us, O God. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Hear us, O God. All the earth sings praises to you. Grant your care to the creatures, plants, and places that are suffering, and equip us to respond to their song. Make us agents for restoration and refreshment for all your beloved creation. Hear us, O God. You call all people of the world your children. Judge the nations justly. Show mercy to all who are oppressed, and speak truth to the power through your prophets. Hear us, O God. Nurturing Lord, you send your Spirit to grant us peace. Make your presence known to those who feel abandoned or alone, and to all who are sick or grieving, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Donna, Joellen, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Doug, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Vanessa, Lucas, John, Kelly, Diane, Carol, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. You hold us in your loving care. We pray for mothers and mother figures. Console all who are long to be mothers, children estranged from their mothers, anyone grieving the death of a mother, and mothers who have lost a child. Support all whom this day is difficult. Hear us, O God. Almighty God, you give life and breath to all things. We give thanks for the Apostle Matthias and all your saints. Sustain us by your love until we join the saints in glory. Hear us, O God.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, the ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy One, Mighty One, Merciful One, we give you thanks for you are the one who brings life out of death. In the beginning, when there was nothing, you spoke and the whole universe came into being. You quieted chaos and pierced the darkness with your life-giving light. When waves of wickedness threatened to drown your world, you sent the flood to destroy sin and save your good creation. When your people cried out to you from the depths of slavery in Egypt, gave us a meal and set us free. When we were dry bones in a valley, you sent your life-giving spirit to raise us up and to put a new heart and spirit in us. And in these last days, you have given us Jesus, your Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who willingly gave his life on the cross to show us the fullness of your love, and who rose from the grave destroying the power of death. And now you invite us to this feast of your victory over the grave. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and of his resurrection, upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we might receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward anybody helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those participating in Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I will have the consecrated host in the center aisle. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, I'll be on the lectern side. An usher will have trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. You who have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, go tell the whole world of his love.
Giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and bread to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen. The announcements for the good of the community. As Christ sent us out to the world, let's recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.